Okay, we're ready to go. We're just going to keep the line open for those that are asking questions live and in person. For those that are on the conference call, just wait till the end to answer any additional questions.
Let me just start out by saying this is always the hardest day of the year. We had a tremendously competitive training camp. We let go of a lot of good players. At one point or another, every single one of the players that we let go of today was someone that we fought for, we scouted, and we wish them all the best of luck.
What are the terms of the trade?
It's a conditional draft pick.
And who do we release to make room?
Julian Vanderbilt.
Can you tell us a little about David Sims?
Athletic, solid tackler, can play on special teams. He's a guy that we've been following throughout the course of this preseason. We played the Browns in the preseason. We've obviously scouted them a lot as we get ready to play their game, and we're happy to acquire him today.
Where would you see him starting on the depth chart as far as, number three, safety, four?
Well, right now he'll go in and he'll back up at the safety spots. We'll try to learn those safety spots, and we'll hopefully get him up to speed on special teams as quickly as possible.
How, in the case of Hanson, is that a matter of confidence in Boykin, or was it a financial thing? How would you explain that?
It was a matter of confidence in Boykin. We drafted our players in this day and age in the salary cap era because of the nature of the salary cap and that it's flat. You need your young players to play. And we have a lot of confidence in Brandon, and I think he demonstrated some of his skills during the games and during training camp.
How about Dixon, the decision with him?
That's a hard one. You know, Antonio Dixon is a guy that we got this time of year. Brings a great personality to our football team. He's someone we care about personally and professionally. And, sometimes on these days you have to make tough decisions, and that was certainly one of the hardest ones.
Howie, releasing Vanderbilt leaves you with, what, 8 offensive linemen?
Yes.
Comfortable with that number?
Well, you always want a lot of offensive linemen, and I think in the next 24, 48 hours, that's an area that we'll look at. Both on the active roster and certainly on the practice squad. When we talk about our roster, we talk about a 61-man roster. You have the 53 plus 8. And so for us, we're going to have enough depth at that position that we'll feel adequately covered.
Howie, what was the most difficult position to really come to a final realization about this is the core of the bill we need?
Well, I think we've talked about the defensive line, and the defensive line is an area that we put a lot of resources in just in terms of draft picks and money. And so for us, we want that to be one of, if not the strength of our football team. So as we went through this process, that was something that we wanted to maintain.
Trent Edwards really came on late in camp, making terms.
Well, we talk about at the beginning of training camp and really at the beginning of our first mini camp, we talk about the competition. And that doesn't matter where you come from, we're going to let our eyes dictate the roster decisions. And that was a great example of that there. Trent came in. He was the fourth quarterback. He wasn't getting a lot of reps in mini camps. And he continued to persevere, continued to learn the offense. He didn't complain about anything. In fact, he was a consummate professional and teammate. And when he got his opportunities, he continued to perform.
Howie, did the coaches feel that Boykin outplayed Hanson, or did you feel that you had two guys playing at a high level and it was just...
Ocelio Hanson's been a very good player for us for a long time. He'll continue to be a good player here throughout this year and the coming years. We just felt like this was a move that Brandon was going to play for us. He was eventually going to fill this role, and he had shown enough that he was ready to go right now.
Now, you had all tried to trade Hanson. I don't know what kind of market it was, but...
You know, we didn't. We brought him in today. We spoke to him, and we just felt like once we made that decision this morning that we just wanted to talk to him, and by holding on to him and trying to shop him, that would take away from some of the process here. We just wanted to look him in the eye and tell him what we were thinking and be very honest with him and not prolong it.
Was that part, like, what did you think, well, if we do release him, there's a chance he can go to a division opponent? They're familiar with us?
You have to assume that these players, the good players you let go today, they're going to go somewhere that you're going to play against them. And so that's part of this. Teams have good players in this league. It's the same thing during the draft process. You know that you're going to lose some good players in the draft. They're going to go to some of the teams you face. But we were concerned about our own roster and putting together the best 53-man roster. And we talk a lot about continuity now and going forward and trying to build a core group of players that we can go forward with.
How do you feel a lot better at safety now that Sims is here?
I think you also have to add in the fact that Colt Ange and the progress that he's shown, and for us to activate him off PUP today, and we'll see when he's ready to go, but we certainly think that by doing this, he'll be ready to play and contribute before that six-week period would have started. So if you add that in to David Sims, I think that gives us a jolt. We think Colt's one of, if not the best special teams player in the National Football League, and he's gotten some opportunities at safety. He'll continue to grow there, and we're excited to have him back on the practice
field. Where does Jaquan Jarrett fit into that puzzle?
Well, after you talk about the starters, he's the one that has had the most experience. Jaquan had some adversity during this training camp. He responded to it, and so we look for him to continue to grow as a player.
Do you think the last two games where he didn't play well really saved his spot? I mean, at what time do you think it was really up for jeopardy?
Well, I think in any profession, certainly National Football League, you look how people respond to adversity. And so he could have gone in the tank, and instead how he responded was he continued to work hard and continue to get his playbook, study it, and he responded.
Is it more of a strong safety or a free safety?
You know, in our defense, those guys are interchangeable. They can play either spot. So we'll get him in here. We'll see where he feels most comfortable, where our coaches feel he's most comfortable, and we'll go from there.
Is he more of a coverage guy or known for hitting a little bit more?
You know, he can do a little of everything. He can cover. I mean, he's 5'9.5", so I'm not going to tell you that he's going to go and cover 6'6" tight ends all the time, but he's got good feet, he's got good athletic ability, and he's got good feel for the game.
The O.J. Ataguay injury obviously hindered you a little bit in the safety position. But looking at the spot, you guys obviously addressed it now, and you addressed it in June. You've mentioned before about the safety position how hard it is to kind of find guys to fill up that spot. Is the depth there kind of a result of that on your team?
It's interesting because when you talk to people around the league during this time of year and people talk about the position they're looking for, you always hear O-line, D-line, but now you hear safety.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking for safeties. They're really hard to find. We've addressed this publicly. We've talked about this with our scouts. You talk about this around the National Football League. It's just a position where guys who used to play are moving to other spots. And some of it's the advent of the spread offense in college football, and others because other positions are being glorified and being possibly, or at least the perception is, paid more money.
Why do you feel it's necessary to keep Chris Poles as a fourth running back?
Well, you talk about production. You talk about production and potential with Chris Polk. Every time he touched the ball, something positive happened. He really has a skill set that fits this offense. He can catch, he can pass protect, he can run inside and outside. And so for us, once you get past really 40, we're trying to get the best players, guys that can come on our football team, maybe last for a long period of time as we try to build it. And so Chris just did everything that was asked for to make this football team.
Who do you feel is pretty unlikely that if you had cut him that you wouldn't make it to your practice squad?
I think that's safe to say.
A residual effect, maybe having just five wide receivers and Riley Cooper still dealing with the collarbone injury. So, I mean, do you feel okay with the number there heading into the regular season?
Well, again, you talk about the practice squad and your whole 61-man roster and being able to bring those guys up at some point if you need it. We've gone deeper at that position in the past, but we feel comfortable going into this game, and certainly we'll wait and see how long Riley's going to be out.
I think it's 24 first- or second-year players on the roster, and you cut some key veterans, too. Is that an initiative to go younger? Obviously, financially, it gives you more flexibility, but you go into this wanting a younger roster.
Well, I think we wanted to get the best players, but as we look at it going forward, we have a roster with a lot of guys who make good money because they're good players. And so when you have that kind of roster, you have to have young players supplementing it. And so if we had a veteran player that we thought was going to be better than the young player, then we're going to take the veteran player. But obviously we're encouraged by how some of the young players did and the growth potential we think they have, and that's a great credit to our personnel staff and our coaching staff.
Who do you guys envision now as a slot corner if Brandon were to get hurt?
Well, Brandon Hughes has played it before. Namdi has played it in the past as well. And then right now we have other guys in Terrard Lindley who we think can work in there. But obviously you talk about nickel and then you talk about dime, and Brandon Hughes does have experience
Lindley
playing
was,
inside.
You know, kind of a Cinderella story here. Can he work in at safety? Is that part of keeping him?
He can. He's a solid tackler. He's got a good feel for the game. And so that's one of the things you look at is his versatility, that he could play that position. Now that we got five safeties on the roster, you know, we'll see if that happens. But
right.
he could do that. So he can play inside, play outside, he can play safety.
Darryl Papp was a guy that a lot of people were talking about may have been on the fringe. What does it mean to keep him on the roster?
Well, we talk about pass rushers and how important it is for us to have the defensive line as one of the strengths of our team. And Darryl's a guy that every day showed up in practice. When we played, he's one of the leaders on our defense. He brings tremendous amount of energy, and he's a good football player. So we're excited that he's on this team.
Can you have six defensive ends? Can you activate five on Sundays? I mean, I think you've done it before.
Yeah, sure, you can. And really the way that Washburn plays our defensive line, you got a bunch of starters, and they got to play fast. And the more guys we can have rotating in and playing at a high level, we certainly think the better that they'll be able to play.
Do you anticipate this being the roster on Monday, or are you expecting the waiver wire or trade in a few days?
I'll tell you what, we're in the office at 9:30, and we're going back, and it'll be a long day. If we see anything that we think is an upgrade for our football team, we're going to look at that. And so to promise you exactly what's going to come out, I couldn't do that. We like our roster. We feel very comfortable that this is the roster that goes into play Cleveland. That's a really positive thing. But at the same time, we're going to have a lot of names in front of us here in the next couple hours. We're going to explore all that.
What took so long in the McBryer release?
Well, that's a tough decision right there. You're talking about a guy who's been an incredibly successful punter in the National Football League. And as we looked at all the numbers, we wanted to make sure we had all the information. So you're taking every punt that they had during training camp. You're taking every punt during the game. You're taking field punts. You're taking punts inside the 20. And you're evaluating that. And at the same time, it's funny because I was just thinking about it. We had a game. You know, 24 hours ago at this time, we're playing. So you're still in the process of going through that and playing the game and watching the tape and looking at all these decisions that you have to make. And we just want to make sure that we made the decision that we felt was right.
Do you realize Chaz, after the game, was speaking as if he had won the job and had been, said he was congratulated by Matt? Was there a miscommunication there?
No, I don't think so. We told Matt that Chaz was going to punt in the game and hold, and that Matt was not going to be at the game. But at the same time, we didn't cut Matt at that point. We wanted to go through the decision, and Chaz ended up being the punter. So.
2 weeks ago, would you have thought Trent Edwards had a legitimate chance to be your third quarterback?
I think 2 weeks ago, yes. I think if you would have said 2 months ago, was that the expectation? Probably not. But that's a great part about training camp. That's a great part about the preseason games. And I think that's a great lesson to all our scouts and all the players that we have. So next year when we stand in front of them and say that we're going to go with what our eyes see, and it doesn't matter where you came from, if you're the best player, we're going to put you on our roster. I think we can look them in the eye, and they'll know that's the truth.
Is his relationship with Nick and his ability to mentor him, is it an asset in when you were trying to make this decision? Not that Kapka couldn't help him, but, I mean, this is a veteran who seems to have a pretty good relationship with the kid.
Mike Kapka has a great presence around everyone in the building, around his teammates, so I don't think that was a deciding factor. There's a relationship there, but there's a great relationship with all the quarterbacks, so... you know, at the end of the day, Trent had a very, very exciting preseason. He did a great job, and he deserved a spot on the 53-man roster.
The IR changes yesterday. What is it specifically, and how does it affect this team?
Well, right now it doesn't. You have an opportunity to keep a person right now at this point. For one game, you have to keep them through this cut, and then place him on the IR list with a designation that you may want to bring him back. So there's strategy involved in that. I think it's going to take a little time for us all to figure out the strategy involved in it exactly. As your guys get hurt, you have to figure out which ones that you think the injury is going to give them a chance to come back and when you want to do it.
But you can still use it. It's not specifically for this time of year, correct?
You can still use it, yes.
You only kept four defensive tackles, but the fact that you've got ends like Graham and Tapp that can move inside and nickel, does that kind of make that situation much better than, I mean, less concerning than if you didn't have guys like that?
What we do this time of year is we study it. We study what we've done in the past. We study what other teams, successful teams, have done. And when you look around, there's not a lot of teams carrying five defensive tackles. We've done it because we have a heavy emphasis on our defensive line. And, again, I point to that 61-man roster that we talk about. So even though you have four maybe on the 53 and four that may be active on your 46, that doesn't preclude you from going out and getting another guy.
At fullback, what does Avila do to win that job?
Really all the stuff that we looked for when we drafted him. He's an incredible athlete for that position. He wasn't hesitant at all to stick his nose in there. He can run, he can catch, he can block, and he was good on special teams.
Anderson, a lot of people thought maybe would end up on PUP to start the season. How close do you think he is to being active?
Well, I would say we wouldn't have activated him unless we thought that he can contribute before the six-week window was up. So he's making tremendous progress. We've worked him out a bunch of times here in the past couple of weeks. Our training staff has done a terrific job, as well as our medical staff with him. And he's a fireball. You know, he's somebody that brings a tremendous amount of energy, and he's a heck of a player.
Okay.
We're good.
Are there any other questions on the line?
Thank you guys for waiting and being patient. I apologize. The
floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. If at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing 1. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. And our first question comes from Howard Eskin of WIP Radio. Howard, please state your question.
Howie, do you expect by tomorrow afternoon that you will have added another player off the waiver wire?
Well, we're going to go through that all in the next 12 to 18 hours here, Howard. We're going to get the waiver wire. We're getting cuts as they come in. We're going to evaluate all the players on that wire. And if we see anything that we think makes us a better team, we'll look at that.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Ruben Frank of Comcast Sportsnet. Ruben, please state your question.
Howie, I was wondering if you could just talk about Boykin a little more and why you feel like he's specifically suited and really ready for what he's going to face as a nickel guy in the NFL starting week 1. And just what makes you so sure that, I mean, because we've heard so much about, you know, Joselio's done this for 10 years and how suited he is. What makes you confident Brandon's ready for what he's going to face?
Well, first, when you evaluate college players, it's hard to find corners who play the nickel. And he had a tremendous amount of experience doing that in college football, in big games, in a tough conference, against high-level competition. And then he came here, and he did the same thing. He did it through minicamps, into training camps, and into the preseason games. The stage has never been too big for Brandon Boykin, and we're excited to see him in action.
There appear to be no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.